Some 75 years ago, almost to the month and day, a TV show premiered. And today, it's still the model and an inspiration for a lot of things that we see on TV. That show was I Love Lucy. Most of us only saw it on reruns. I know I only saw it on reruns. But Lucy was pretty zany, quite a character. She always got into trouble. And at the end of the episode, when she invariably got caught, her husband Ricky, who was of Cuban descent, would point his finger at her and say, "Lucy, you got some splaining to do." And that's what I hope to do today, because our readings are really quite challenging, and I hope to do some splaining of those things here. And I want to start with a story that I've heard a couple of times over the years. A man had passed away and met St. Peter at the pearly gates. St. Peter was showing him all around, and there was singing and praising everywhere, as you might expect. But as they were going around, there was a large brick wall, and he could hear on the other side that there were people over there singing and praising God as well. And he was a bit confused and troubled, and he said, "St. Peter, I thought we were all supposed to be together here. I thought we were all supposed to sing and pray and praise God for all eternity as one." He said, "What's up with that brick wall?" He said, "Oh, that's the Catholics. They think they're the only ones up here." Well, I can assure you, brothers and sisters, that that might be an amusing story, and sometimes a little bit of self-deprecating humor is not a bad thing. But that is not what the church teaches. Jesus clearly said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through me." And that is true, but there are many different paths. Even in Eucharistic Prayer 3 that Father uses occasionally at Mass, it says, and I quote here, "To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who were pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom." That's very foundational. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who were pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. We don't necessarily understand that mystery or how it works, but it does speak to our faith and our hope in God's mercy. The readings this week also attest to that and speak to mercy. They address a question that has been asked for thousands of years, and it's still quite relevant today. How universal is God's mercy? In the first reading, Isaiah, some 700 years before Christ, was speaking to people who believed they were the insiders, the chosen ones. And certainly God did choose them to be the first to hear his promises. Yet God says through Isaiah that foreigners who join themselves to the Lord will be welcomed, their sacrifices accepted, and that his house will be a house of prayer for all people. And in those days, and to some even today, that's a very radical statement. God is saying that my covenant is not an exclusive club. My mercy has no limits. My love is not only for just a few, because God always invites more people than we might expect. And in the second reading, Paul writes about the tension between the Jews and the Gentiles in the early church. He wrote that God's plan is not about excluding one group to favor another, but instead that God uses mercy to draw everyone to himself. Paul is trying to teach us to rejoice when God's mercy reaches someone unexpected, because God often reaches us in unexpected ways too. And then we come to the gospel reading today, which is one of the most challenging encounters in all of Scripture. To say that the Israelites and the Gentiles didn't appreciate each other is a massive understatement. Yet a Canaanite woman, a foreigner, a pagan, an outsider, she had the courage to approach Jesus. Her daughter is tormented by a demon, and she's desperate. She cries out, "Lord, have mercy on me." And Jesus doesn't answer. The disciples wanted him to send her away because they kept calling out to him. And then he says something that sounds both harsh and totally out of character for Jesus. "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." That doesn't sound like the Jesus we hear most often in the Gospels. "It is not right to throw the food of the dog, the food of the children, and throw it to the dogs." This too needs some splaining, I think. Jesus at that time was only preaching to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not yet to the Gentiles. The food of the children were the signs, the miracles, the blessings, and the proclamation of the kingdom, and he was not yet reaching out to the rest of the world. But the woman didn't walk away. She didn't give up. She didn't lose hope. She simply kneels before him and says, "Lord, help me." And when Jesus tells her that the children's food can't be thrown to the dogs, she challenges him with one of the most unexpected responses in the gospel. "Even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Can you imagine saying that to Jesus? "Even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." In other words, she was saying, "Lord, I know I don't deserve it, but I know that you are good, and even a crumb of your goodness is enough to heal my daughter." Jesus was moved. He praised her faith, and her daughter was healed. This gospel is not about exclusion. It's about revealing God's mercy for everyone. Jesus was showing her and showing us that faith can be found in unexpected places, that love has no boundaries, that humility opens the door to grace, and that God's mercy is bigger than any human understanding. The disciples wanted to send her away, but Jesus drew her in. The disciples saw a foreigner, but Jesus saw a mother. The disciples saw someone outside the covenant, a Gentile. But Jesus saw someone with a heart ready for faith. In the end, she became an amazing example of persistent, humble, and courageous faith in all of the New Testament. And that gospel continues to challenge our world today. It challenges us to look around. Who are the outsiders we struggle to welcome? Maybe it's someone who doesn't look like us or worship like us, or vote like us, or live like us, or behave the way that we think they should. Isaiah, Paul, and Jesus, though, all say the same thing. God is already working in their lives. Can we see it? Can we rejoice in it? It challenges our prayer. Do we pray with the persistence of the Canaanite woman? She teaches us how to pray when God seems silent, when our hearts are heavy, when answers don't come quickly, and even sometimes when all hope feels lost. Her prayer is not formal, but it is simple, it's honest, and it's persistent. And I believe that sometimes the most powerful prayer that we can offer is the same simple one that she prayed, "Lord, help me." And finally, do we believe that a crumb of God's grace is enough? The Canaanite woman believed that even a crumb of God's goodness could heal her daughter. But brothers and sisters, we receive far more than a crumb. We come to the Eucharist with empty hands. We receive what looks like a small piece of bread, but we receive Christ himself, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. His mercy, his healing, his strength. The readings today proclaim a truth that the world desperately needs to hear. God's mercy crosses boundaries and breaks down walls. God's grace reaches farther than we could ever imagine. And if we are disciples of Jesus, it challenges our hearts to stretch with his. We must be people who speak the truth, who welcome, who listen, who pray persistently, who trust deeply, and who rejoice when God's mercy surprises us. I pray that I've explained some of these things well today, and I pray that we can all recognize that God's mercy is at work in every single human life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.